Hey, what's up, Toby? We're kicking off the 5-minute process debt podcast. And today we are talking about knowledge work. And we're talking about how important it is to make it transferable and also discoverable.
Chris, that sounds very counterintuitive based on my business undergrad and graduate degrees and 20 years of consulting. Discoverable and transferable is not how the consulting industry works, nor corporate America, I think.
Okay, question. You've been doing consulting for a really long time.
Yep.
If they're knowledge workers, the discoverable and transferable work, would there be a consulting industry?
I think that the biggest value that consultants can bring, sometimes it's domain, more often than not, it's the wisdom of ignorance and not understanding the personalities and the political landmines and explore it. So I think there's flavors that would exist, but oftentimes, you know, we bring in consultants as a forcing function. Yeah. I have not being heard. Let me pay inappropriate amounts of money to those really good, exceptional consultants.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, bringing somebody in from the outside, if folks were focused more on the longevity and the transferability of what they had in their brains, that would be landscape change. I mean, what do you think? I headed into that. You've stayed more in the corporate world these last
years. What's interesting is if you go out and pay Bain or McKinsey and you drop $1 million, you know it's discoverable and transferable.
There is one other thing that you can always discover, though. And all you have to do is open up your bank balance and discover that you're now $1 million lighter. So
really, no.
These are some of the smartest kids. Yep. They go on to lead companies like Enron and MCI and some of the biggest brand names.
Kodak, Blockbuster.
If it's driven by near-term numbers, if it's only with an eye towards the next quarter or the next, then what you're doing is you're putting off all the heavy work. And I think that that's where discoverable and transferable, you know, in the immediate moment, the people are touching it. They're thinking about it. Now you've got a headache, right? On. So you and I were talking last week, I think, about your Excel channel. You can spell VBA. You know a thing or two about it. But we both built financial models.
Oh,
we built a variety. You've done a bunch of like operational automations, you know? And I don't know if you spent 100 hours building the tool.
Oh,
did anybody know or care to ask for documentation?
So what's funny is, okay, so funny story at work, right? One of my coworkers finds my channel at work because he's doing some VBA. And he's like, oh my gosh. He's like, dude, you're just down two floors from me. I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he's like, this is amazing. So anyway, what's so funny about that is like, he's like, the guy that wrote the code, super smart dude, he left his comments in Spanish. Right?
As, no, hablo
as he should. Now, you know, this kid's smart, so he probably got it translated. But at the same time, like the only reason, so this is a guy that, you know, that was in the IT org and went to the HR org. And so he's definitely the most technically skilled there. But again, that goes down to like, how are you going to transfer this, right? So one little thing changed or broke.
100%.
And then the whole thing is broke. And most of the time, most companies, at least in my experience, there's like one super technical person. And no one knows that person's work except for that person. And when that person is gone, you're only as good as their coding and their error handling.
Which is not prioritized when we're being asked to build the models. Asked for flexibility.
No.
We're being asked to get it done faster. We're at 5 minutes and 20 seconds, and we're going to get to 5 minutes, but it's going to take practice. So for early listeners, thanks for hanging on. But I think the place where we might leave this, Chris, is knowing that we have several examples of what does it really mean for it to be discoverable and transferable.
Yeah,
and I want to unpack that in some of our future episodes. But I think that the part that really resonates with me and the concern that I have is twofold. There's two things, big macro trends. One, some 75 million baby boomers are supposed to be retiring in the next blink of an eye, give or take. And then the other piece is private equity is eating the world.
Oh, yeah.
And private equity plays an important function in a number of ways, but this is also where some of the brands you and I grew up with have imploded. Yep. It's because when we take a purely financial look at how an organization runs, there's a world of other choices we don't make. And
what happens if there's one critical piece, one critical person that leaves an org and doesn't want to come back, like you're in big trouble. I think some of the next topics that we should talk about is like to have something to be discoverable, it has to have a home. Right. Yeah. And if you think of like one of my like personal pet peeves, which is dumb, this is a stupid pet peeve, but I have a pet peeve of where people use their bookmark bar to find corporate things. And so you have as many ways to get to something as you have people that have bookmarks, and they, cause there's literally no hole. Like there's no hole. Like I just want to go to the glossary and click on where I'm supposed to go. And see, what's funny is like, you know, companies, we use Okta or whatever. It doesn't really matter, but I'll actually go to like Okta.com.
Didn't we buy a multi-million dollar product that we then paid $10 million to implement?
Yes.
No, I think I love the point about home. I think also, you know, one of those elements that we'll touch on is, because often it's going to be people, process, tech.
Yep.
We're making hard trade-offs, right? And the other one that I think about, though, is we're in a land of layoffs.
Yep.
We've all been through a couple.
Yep.
You know, if you're in your 40s or 50s and haven't been through one, you're probably independently wealthy or unemployed your entire life. Otherwise, you've probably been through this motion. The hard part is you don't know who has made their knowledge transferable and discoverable.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a lot more that we can talk about and also maybe talk about some ideas about how we get ahead of that.
Yeah.
Owner, buyer. Yeah. Picking up some of those businesses that baby boomers are trying to act.
Well, and the thing is it's an like finding a place and having that culture where you're going to do that. It flies in the face of what we perceive as productive.
You said something on a call today earlier with a group of us to the effect of, and I'm going to ask you to restate it, but it's this idea that looking busy may not be.
I say that most businesses like to do businessy things in order to alleviate stress and not to actually solve problems.
I will say I appreciate that people in general have found that culturally appropriate versus public masturbation, which is another way that I know a lot of people relieve stress. We're neglecting it. So
for sure.
Yep. Doing businessy things.
Yeah. It's everything, right? And it's everywhere, right? It's the QBR.
Yeah.
It's monthly reviews. It's status reports. It's like stuff should have a purpose. And the purpose can be as simple as we're doing this to build camaraderie. That's fun. But
what was your degree? What school did you pull your degree from?
The Harvard of the West, Boise State.
Yeah.
All right. Woo-hoo. We are way over time.
The Broncos. That's all right. This may become the 10-minute podcast.
Now
we're still going to target incremental improvement.
Right. Thanks, man.
All right.